Good afternoon. It's good to see you all here to study another portion of God's Word. This afternoon, I'd like to speak for a short time on an animal that is used figuratively of Christians. We know in when Jesus walked upon this earth, he used many examples of things to teach a lesson. We know back in the times of the Israelites, when they were here upon the earth, many of them had flocks. Many of them, if they were not shepherds or members of families that tended flocks, whether they be of sheep or goats of that matter, they had to have walked by many of fields and seen their neighbors or maybe some of their other relatives, that friends that were shepherds. Of course, they had seen many thousands and thousands of these animals being tended to by their shepherd and the shepherd's sons that helped them out in the fields. Certainly they had watched the behavior of these sheep and knew the different characteristics of the sheep. And of course, when Jesus spoke to them using the word sheep, they got a good grasp of what Jesus was telling them. So this afternoon, I'd like to speak for a short time on the subject of sheep, an example of Christians being used as referring to a Christian. Psalms 103, Bible says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." God made us, therefore we are his. We were not evolved. We did not come about due to evolution or the Big Bang Theory. We were created by God. He made us. We're his. We are his people. And we should acknowledge God for who he is, our Creator, our Father. We are the sheep of his pasture, this scripture tells us. And of course, we should devote our lives to him each and every day. What is a sheep? The dictionary describes a sheep as a gentle creature from the ram family. Well, as Christians, we find that we are called sheep. More younger version of that is the sheep is a lamb. And we know that lamb is defenseless. A lamb is very humble and very young. And, of course, usually free from any kind of blemish. It is the small baby version of the sheep. And it usually sticks close to its mother and their shepherd, and it needs help just like a newborn baby of the human race. It's not very comforting to know that God compares us to sheep that have the following characteristics that I wish to briefly go over. Sheep, we find, are weak and defenseless. Most animals in the kingdom, in the animal kingdom, have been given by God some sort of weapon or ability to protect themselves. Sheep are easy prey for wild carnivores or even pet dogs. They have no defense other than running away, which in turn ignites a passion for the chase in the pursuing animal. The end is inevitable unless the shepherd steps in and intervenes and, of course, fights for the sheep. Sheep have very poor vision, like many Christians do at times. They can't see very far by faith. A sheep's vision is only about 20 to 25 feet, so it's easy for them to get into trouble. Sheep are probably the most timid animal of all the animals. They are very easily scared, and of course they are very shy. Sheep easily get lost, and they easily get into trouble. They do so because as they graze in the field, they don't pay attention to where they are going. They literally eat themselves into trouble. They nibble themselves into difficulty. Can there be any better description of us at times? Like sheep, we nibble our way into trouble. We don't pay attention to where we are headed until we arrive in a crisis. There are many that don't pay attention to what they're eating until they find themselves out of the church and believing in things other than the Word of God, believing man's philosophy and believing in other things contrary to the Word of God. In Matthew 26 and 41, we are admonished, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." This is something that we should always come to remember and realize each and every day. that even though our spirit, our heart desires to please God and to follow His commandments, our flesh is weak at times, and we do succumb to temptation, so we must watch out for those things that would bring us into that snare and that would cause us to actually sin and fall away from God. Just as sheep will blindly and habitually and foolishly follow one another along the same little trails until they become ruts. And then, of course, over time, those ruts turn into large holes. So we humans cling to the same habits that we have seen ruin other people's lives. We read in Proverbs 14 and 12 and in chapter 16 and 25, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There are many who don't want to come when called by our Lord. Many don't want to follow. They don't want to be led in the paths of righteousness. Many prefer to turn to their own way, even though it may take them straight into trouble. It is always the stubborn. It is always the self-willed, the proud, and the self-sufficient sheep that persist in pursuing its old paths and grazing on those old polluted grounds. They will end up, of course, lost in a barren land. The world we live in is full of such folk. Broken homes, broken hearts, and derelict lives remind us everywhere of men and women who have left the church and have gone their own way. We have a sick society struggling to survive on a weak and worn land. The greed and selfishness of mankind leaves behind a legacy of ruin and remorse. But amid all this chaos and confusion, Christ, the Good Shepherd, comes and says, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8 and 34. But many of us, even as Christians, simply don't want to do this at times. We don't want to deny ourselves. We don't want to give up our right to make our own decisions. We don't want to follow. We don't want to be led. Sheep are also one of the most ignorant and dumbest animals in the world. They react without thought or reason, and often to their own detriment. They are easily spooked and upset. When this happens, the sheep will flee and scatter, and often get lost, unable to find their way back to the flock or the safety of the fold. When sheep scatter and run in confusion or fear, they are often able to get themselves into situations they are unable to get out of on their own. Just as sheep are easily spooked and run away, we also many times do the same thing when confronted with a problem or a dilemma. In Mark 14 and 27, "And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Sheep are one of the few animals that can't find their way home once they become lost. We've seen a few cute movies in the past where a dog had become separated from their family, and over a course of the end of the movie, the dog had somehow found its way home to meet its masters at the house. We have heard on many occasions in the real life of families that have upped and moved, and their dog had gotten away on the shortly after they had started their trip. And some of them, several years later, that one beloved pet showed up on their doorstep to the example of showing that there are some animals that can find their way home, but sheep cannot. They have no homing instinct. They stray easily. They have no instinct to lead them back to where they should be. If someone doesn't rescue them, they would surely perish. When one sheep decides to go somewhere, the rest of the flock usually follows, even if it is not a good decision. For example, if the lead sheep jump over a cliff, the others are likely to follow. If a lead sheep goes into a ditch or a large hole, it's very likely the rest of the flock will do as well. Even from birth, lambs are conditioned to follow the older members of the flock. That's why it's so important for us as mature members of the body of Christ, as mature sheep in our fold, to give good examples to our younger lambs, that we know that they will follow us, they look to us for guidance, and that we need to lead them the right way and not lead them to the edge of safety or to the edge where they might get into trouble. We don't want them to walk that line between good and bad. We shouldn't either. And of course, we should be good leaders of our children and our fellow man, and go down the right path that leads to righteousness. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, if we are so proud in our minds that we feel that we could never go astray, the good word, the Bible tells us that we are foolish and that we are wrong. We can fall and slip away, and we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here in Isaiah, we all like sheep, we have all gone astray, and we've needed to return. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Turning to my own way simply means doing what I want to do, regardless of how God feels or regardless of how God wants me to do. It implies that I am free to assert my own wishes and carry out my own ideas. These thoughts certainly are example of the wishes and ideas and thoughts of Satan. He wished to do it. He didn't wish to do. Lucifer didn't wish to do it God's way. He decided to create, so to speak, a coup d'état in heaven. Tried to take heaven over and to do it his own way. And we knew he was. The Bible tells us he was expelled from heaven. Without the shepherd's help, the sheep would perish. Just as the sheep, if they didn't have the help of a shepherd, of their shepherd, when they were in trouble, they would certainly die and perish. We as Christians, without the help of Jesus Christ, we will perish too. From the very beginning, our sins were washed away by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross and died for us. From the very beginning, we would have perished without Jesus Christ's help. Without the shed blood of Jesus, we would, of all men, be most miserable because we would not experience everlasting life. We needed the help of the Savior, just as the sheep need the help of the shepherd. We needed the help of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. If a sheep is injured, the shepherd must carry a sheep and tend to his wounds until he is able, until they are back to the fold where he can get better help to him. The shepherd's whole world revolves around the safety and comfort of his sheep. The shepherd is very dedicated to his lambs and to his sheep, just as Jesus Christ is to us. The sheep rely completely on the tender shepherd for everything, and they take his care for granted until they are in need and become calling to him for help when they get in trouble again. It is very like many of us that when we are in a comfort zone, we feel we don't need the Lord too much anymore, and then we find ourselves calling to him when we're in trouble again. We should always recognize our shepherd's place in our lives. He's not one for us to just call out when we're in help. We should call out to him even when we are not in dire need of help, thanking him for what he's done for us and thanking him that he is Lord of our life and he is the Savior. He's our Savior. Sheep need to be fed and watered, their wounds tended and cared for. They need to be guided from one spot to another and never left alone. Their needs compared to other animals are even greater because of their instinct of fear and to run when they are frightened. And often they are simply just too dumb to get themselves out of simple predicaments. Without a shepherd to care for the sheep, they would not last long. Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Today, many sheep don't want to be fed with the living bread of God's word, as we were instructed. They chose to be groomed with their own ideas of how they should improve our lives. Many today don't wish to read and understand and hold the word of God as very important in their lives. Many today don't really want to follow the word or hear it and understand it. They just wish to be groomed with their own ideas and the ideas of other individuals, not based on the Word of God. Because of this, we see the many denominations that are in the world that are teaching half-truths or none of the truths. Their minds are being teased and pleased. They're pretty much being groomed, and they're not being fed. When sheep are not being fed properly, they're not going to be strong. And of course, without the shepherd leading them, they're all headed down the pathway to destruction. John 10:26, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." If we don't believe that Jesus, who He is, if we do not believe the great office that He holds in our lives, the head of the church, the Savior of the world, if man does not hear Him and obey His Word by hearing His Word and believing it, believing in Him and the Father, confessing Him before men, repenting of our sins, and being baptized for the remission of sins, we certainly are not going to be His sheep. And without that belief and without us being His sheep, we are certainly lost. Many do not feed on God's food. The Word of God is God's food, and God has designed it to feed us. Many could be getting great meals of excellent sustenance, yet they settle for lessons out here in the world that make them feel good, essentially only grooming them. Outwardly, they may look very healthy, but inwardly they are starving. God's Word is our spiritual food, and Scripture calls itself our sustenance in living water. But what does a sheep need? A shepherd who provides for them. Sheep do not provide for their own. When left alone, a sheep will wander off, nibbling on one patch of grass and then another until they do not know where they are. If not for the shepherd, they would be lost. Sheep also have a strong instinct to follow their leader as a member of a pack, of a flock. John 10:3, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." In John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It has been said that many shepherds have names for their sheep, and out of the hundreds and hundreds of them in the flock, that shepherd could call one out by the name, and that one would leave that fold and come to the shepherd and be very happy at the foot of that shepherd. It is true with us in Jesus Christ. We all have names. He all knows us. We all know the voice of our Lord. He knows ours, and it is wonderful to know that as faithful members of the body of Christ, we have a great shepherd, Jesus Christ, that leads us. One of the greatest assets a shepherd has in these circumstances when they're tending to their flocks in the fields is his voice. Again, his sheep knows his voice, and it will follow it back to the safety of the fold. Even in the darkest of nights, a sheep would come to where the voice of the shepherd would be speaking. If a sheep is not able to make it back due to rough terrain or physical injury, the shepherd will place his remaining sheep in the safety of the fold and go out and look for that one lost sheep and bring it back. Often this involves a great deal of time and involves a lot of danger. We know that Jesus spoke of this concept on many, many occasions of going out and looking for the one lost sheep. God the Father doesn't wish that anyone would not be saved. He's offering salvation to each and every one that has ever lived. And it is our duty, our responsibility to look out for our own salvation and hear that word and obey it and accept God and Jesus Christ on their terms and not ours. Matthew 18:12, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray?" So God loves us. Jesus, our shepherd, loves us. When we stray, He wants us to come back. He seeks us out. We know that we have a responsibility as ourselves to want to knock on that door, knock on the door of the sheepfold, knock on the door, knock on Jesus Christ, ask Him to help us when we are certainly in trouble. In ancient times, and even today in places like Africa and the Middle East, shepherds carried two pieces of equipment, a rod and a staff. The rod was a club-like weapon carved from a stump of a sapling. It probably was similar to a small baseball bat, in other words. The shepherds developed skills in using their rod. They could throw it with great accuracy, defend off predatory animals like wolves. They could also throw the rod at any wayward sheep to cause it to change direction and move back towards the flock. The rod was also used to examine the sheep's wool and skin to find parasites and sores. Still another use of the rod of the shepherd was to control the sheep as they were being counted. A shepherd would hold out his rod, preventing sheep from passing into his fold until he properly identified them as his own. Passing under the rod, so to speak, refers to the safety and protection of the fold. The rod of the Good Shepherd, Jesus, is the Word, the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible describes itself as a weapon which provides defense against Satan, whether he is presenting himself as a predatory wolf in sheep's clothing in Matthew 7 or 15, or as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour in 1 Peter 5 in verse 8. The Christian is comforted by the knowledge that he can resist Satan by quoting Scripture, and Satan will flee from him. James 4 and 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Our Good Shepherd also uses the Bible to examine us and to identify and heal our spiritual flaws. The second tool that a shepherd uses as equipment is the staff. It is a long stick, which usually is crooked at one end. Like the rod, the shepherd's staff has multiple uses. The staff is used for unifying the flock, for one. A shepherd can use that crook on his staff to lift up newborn lambs and place them near their mothers when they seem to wander off a bit. If the shepherd were, of course, to lift the lamb with his hands, the odor of his hands would cause the mother to reject her lamb. The shepherd can also catch sheep that are straying away and bring them back into the flock by hooking them with that hook and bringing them back. He may use the staff to reach out and catch sheep, young and old, and draw them to himself for examination. In each of these cases, the shepherd uses the staff to keep the sheep together in the flock. The Holy Spirit does that with believers. The staff is also used for guiding the sheep. Just as the Holy Spirit guides us, this staff helps the shepherd to guide the sheep. The shepherd does this not by beating the sheep, but by simply touching the sheep and nudging them in the direction he wishes them to go. Christians who are sensitive to the nudging of the Holy Spirit find comfort in having having that guidance in their lives. But like sheep sometimes, some Christians don't want to feel the nudging. They want to go their own way. A third use of the staff is for rescue. When a sheep wanders off into a thicket or slips over an embankment, reaching for that inviting clump of grass just outside his safety zone, the shepherd can actually snatch him back using the crook on the staff. Many Christians live on the edge of their safety zone today. They're always stepping just a little bit out of bounds and frequently finding themselves in a whole world of trouble. But the Holy Spirit is always there to pull them back into the flock. When we replace the word sheep for Christians in the following verses, we see a true love story of our tender shepherd and his sheep. Just as sheep need constant care and watching, our shepherd is forever with us. Just as sheep will hear their shepherd's voice and come back to him, we hear our shepherd's voice in return to be ministered and to be loved. When we are hurt too badly to come to the shepherd comes to us and carries us back in the safety of his arms. We often find ourselves in places we cannot easily get out of, so the shepherd finds us and rescues us and brings us back to the fold. Just as sheep take for granted the care and concern their shepherd has for them, we too take for granted that Christ is forever within our sight and has only our best interest at heart. The shepherd feeds and waters us through his word. Even while we are busy or asleep, the tender shepherd is forever standing watch over us to keep us safe and be within reach should we call to Him. When the enemy comes as a roaring lion or a wolf ready to devour us, it is the shepherd who comes to our defense and has laid down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10 and 11. Jesus Christ is that great shepherd. He gave his life for us, and it's something that we should never, ever, ever forget. The shepherd loves his sheep. We, in return, love the good shepherd and know we are safe within his reach. If we stray, he will find us. If we are weary, he will carry us. If we are injured, he will heal us. If we are hungry, he will feed us. If we are frightened, he will comfort us. If we are attacked, he will defend us. We are safe with our shepherd. The shepherd is the Savior for his sheep. Christ is the Savior of all humanity, of all the world. Isn't it great to know that Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, loves us, the sheep? He cares about every one of us, and he is attentive to us no matter who we are, no matter what we are going through, whether we have lost our spouse through death, or we are facing an uncertain future in our jobs, or we are going into surgery or struggling with what to do about a relationship. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, knows what we are up against. He knows what we need, and he will take care of us. That's why we can say, "The Lord is my Good Shepherd, and I have everything I need." The one reason he knows that, of course, we know he left the throne in glory to come here to live on the earth as a man. He understands our trials and tribulations. He's lived through them. He knows what we experience here upon this earth, how we suffer mentally as well as physically. But what about the rebellious sheep? I know in my family growing up, I had a younger brother that always seemed to get in trouble. We were all given the same message from my parents as far as how they want us to be brought up. But he seemed very rebellious most of the time, and he somehow got to be referred in times afterwards there, referred to as the black sheep, the one that didn't conform. Usually in examples like this, you would look that the color of the sheep would be white, and the one that was always rebellious and not obeying and doing things completely different than the rest of the flock would be considered the black sheep. The one who doesn't follow the shepherd? I would say so. What does the shepherd do about that sheep? Well, there's something that a shepherd does that sounds awful. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's happened on many occasions, and it is commonplace. But amazingly, it is really a loving thing to do. When a shepherd has a sheep that doesn't want to follow the shepherd, he breaks the leg of that sheep. He breaks their leg so they cannot walk. Then he carries that sheep on his shoulders until that sheep heals and can walk again. Why does he do this, you may ask? During recuperation and recovery, the shepherd and the sheep form a very deep bond, and the sheep learns to trust that shepherd. That rebellious sheep learns to trust and follow that shepherd in his leading. In essence, pain teaches the sheep to depend on the shepherd and to trust the shepherd. Isn't that true of us as well? In life, it is most often through pain that we learn how wonderful Jesus Christ our shepherd is. It is through difficulties we learn that we can trust Jesus Christ our Savior. King David had it right in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Good sheep learn to follow where their shepherd leads, no matter where he leads, because they learn the shepherd can be trusted, because the shepherd is good. Our shepherd, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is good. He can be trusted. He is the head of the church. He leads us to paths of righteousness. Our good shepherd will lead us to everlasting life in heaven. We as sheep must be obedient sheep and follow our master, follow our shepherd, and believe that he will take care of us and keep us safe. As long as we stay within the fold. It is a good message to understand and realize and remember that we are all sheep in the flock of Jesus Christ. He is our good shepherd, is the one that we should look up to and always follow all the days of our life. That is my message for this afternoon. If there be one, Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?